Good. So good to be here. How exciting is this place? Love church. Always love church. I mean, how crazy is it? It's like an hour and a half or something on a Sunday night. What else are you going to do? Watch a movie? How boring would that be when you could be in the house? You could be here. It's going to be a beautiful night. I know this. I already have some words on the inside of me about some of the things that God is going to do. Yeah, I kind of try to, on a Sunday night, kind of float a little free. And I know that God is going to touch you so powerfully here tonight. I have some books out there that I'd really like. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I'm not trying to sell books. I'm trying to help you. And these books will help you. I spent a lot of time pouring my heart and soul into writing these, Hope and Dead for Nothing. And I've written, I think it is 17 books now. My daughter and I were just collaborating today on the final printout of a book we're releasing at Presence Conference, which I know you're coming to, which will be absolutely amazing. I just thought that while we're standing here and we're in the presence of the Lord, I know Daniel, my son, has had a journey over quite a long period of time, finding his way into a whole new place in God. And for 4.5 years now, he's been in a secret place, just burrowing away. When we first saw a miracle happen in his life where he got touched by God, we thought we'd better just let it take root and see how it travels. And, you know, when he hasn't had anything to do like preaching or any of that stuff, he's been praying, seeking God, studying the Bible, listening to podcasts, reading books here, there, and everywhere, telling me about the books I should read. He told me, you need to read this book by Tim Keller on prayer. So I read it on prayer, one of the best books I've ever read on prayer. And so we talk a lot about Jesus and about God and the things that are happening in his life. And he's still on that journey, but I tell you, the power of God is starting to travel through his life in a remarkable way. And I think he can team up with us building the mighty church of God, especially the C3 movement. And I said, why don't you get up here tonight again and just share the word. And while you're standing, he's not going to take too long, but he's going to just pray for
you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I should have brought that cover. I think I have a man crush on Jeremy Moore. That's nothing these days. That's nothing. That's fine. Does he look like Jason Statham to you?
He does.
God will do what he says he will do. Transport his presence. It was like a Jeremy Moore night tonight. Yeah. Just focusing on Jeremy right now for some reason. Jeremy and I fasted Instagram for 2 days during the conference to find out what the next move of God was. Remember that? Pastor Kerry asked Dad, what do you think the next move of God was? And Dad said, salvations. And actually, after Jeremy and I fasted together, he texted me and he said, I think it's going to be a crying revival. And he started making stickers called Recrival. So, church, Recrival is coming. And I've been praying that Jeremy will be the catalyst of this move. Could you imagine Jeremy just crying? Never! Never! Sorry, way off track. God wants you to be seriously happy. Yeah. So he wants you to be serious about him. And he's going to make you seriously happy. It's kind of just the payoff you get for getting serious about God. And it's not an earthly joy. It's not like happy. It's a supernatural joy that almost can get on you, can get on your skin, gets on your clothes. It can get on the people around you. You can start to influence the people around you because you are an atmosphere. You are an atmosphere. I mean, you're a flesh suitcase carrying an atmosphere that we call the Spirit. So this is all the covering for something that is so much more important in this life, because it's the one thing that outlasts eternity. That's your spirit. How crazy is that? And there's things in this life that can attach itself to the suitcase that'll make it heavy, that'll get a stronghold on that suitcase to weigh it down with luggage you don't need to carry. But when the Holy Spirit starts to deal with those areas, those deep basements, those hallways, a lot of you guys are locked up. You haven't emotionally learned how to breathe yet. And you might be spiritually ahead, but emotionally, you could be at like 14 years old still. Just stuck, you know. And this is what the Lord's done for me. He's helped my emotions heal. And I just want to talk a little bit about my testimony. 4.5 years ago, I did not have a great atmosphere around me. In fact, even my brother didn't want to be around me. I was in the middle of a very dark place. And I just wrote down a few things here called the stages of freedom that I experienced. And then I believe God's going to do something for you guys tonight. My first stage of freedom was rock bottom. You don't really ascend into the presence of God where it really transforms you. I believe you descend into the presence of God. And I experienced a huge deliverance. I was addicted to narcotics. I would take a synthetic narcotic in the morning. I would smoke weed in the afternoon to get creative in the studio. I would begin drinking in the afternoon to calm down the Adderall, mixing with the weed, which got me super edgy. Also suspended my consciousness, so I would begin to feel very spiritually uneasy and disturbed. And then into the night, I would drink into the night to 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. I would work, and then I would to have to take a prescription medication to fall asleep, which I abused as well. There was something about it. I had a lot of anger and I had a lot of anxiety from some things that happened to me when I was a young boy, which I'll talk about probably later on in my testimony down the road. But right now, I just want to focus on this. It really let some devils get a hold of me. I was a disturbed man. I was a troubled spirit, a troubled soul. And my deliverance actually happened on April 14th, 2013, during Presence Conference. When my mum had flown me to Australia on points to get me to the Presence Conference, and my wife had said, "Mama Chris, if a miracle doesn't happen with Dan, I'm going to have to leave him. I can't live with this anymore." And she took a life insurance policy out on my life, $1 million life insurance policy. Just in case I passed, you know, that was the stage that I was getting to. And it was 3 a.m. in the morning, and I was hungover, and I was in the hotel during Presence Conference, and the Spirit of the Lord woke me up. I mean, this was sovereign. He came to me. Just like the Bible says, He loved us first. And He sovereignly came into that room. And it wasn't a beautiful, like, oh, the love of God, oh, I'm so free. It was awful. There was a lot of stuck emotions down there. And finally, Mum and Dad came at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. in the morning. And they just laid hands on me, and I put my face in a pillow on that. On that hotel floor. And I was rocked, shaken, shattered, wrecked by the love of God and by the power of the finger of God in my mind and in my heart. I'm just going to jump a few things here, but one of the things that happened after this experience of deliverance was the first thing I wanted to do that morning. And I didn't sleep all night, but the first thing I wanted to do was be around the people of God, my people. I felt this drawing to the people of God. And the word says that he like the mountains of Jerusalem, he surrounds his people and protects them. He doesn't surround his person, he surrounds his people. So as we stick together and hold on to one another, he surrounds us and protects us. And it says, as the mountains surround him. So I felt this immense protection that as far as I could see, I was protected no matter where I was, inside or outside, no matter how far you can see. As far as you can see, the Lord protects you. If you're outside the mountain ranges, you're protected as far as the eye can see. And I felt that comfort with the people of God, that I was surrounded by people and surrounded by his protection as well. It was like three layers of protection. And the Lord showed me for us to stick together what was in the center of the people. It was Jesus, and they were all reaching for Jesus. That's what kept them together. Sometimes you step over one another. Sometimes you annoy one another. But that's church. As long as we're all reaching for Jesus, we will stay together. So the Lord gave me, I want to read this scripture out because this is really actually what happened. After I got delivered, I went through a series of visions. I had very strong visions and strong dreams. This scripture came to mind today. You have died with Christ and he has set you free from the evil power of this world. So why do you keep on following rules of the world such as don't handle, don't eat, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teaching about things that are gone as soon as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, humility, and severe bodily discipline, but they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in a place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about the things down here on earth. This happened before I even read this. So it was in a dream. I was inside. I didn't know where I was. I was in a dark space. And actually, by the way, guys, can you start playing As It Is in Heaven, that other song? I love that song. Can you play the bridge section? Yeah. Switch it up. Why not? I was in this dark place. And when I woke up from the dream, the presence of God was all over me. And I remember I could hear the muffled voice of someone, and I was inside something, and I just knew I was inside the chest of Christ as he took his last breaths on that cross. And I heard his heartbeat slow. And I heard the muffled sound of him crying out. And it was in Hebrew in my dream. I didn't know what he was saying. And when I looked, it said, it was my God, why have you forsaken me? Into your hands I commit my spirit. And I heard the heartbeat. It was sitting to the left ear, and I heard it slow till it stopped. And I fell with him. I fell, and there was no gravity. There's no resistance when you fall into hell, guys. There's nothing to stop you falling. It's as though, the moment you feel when you've leant back on a chair too far and you feel your body, you feel that awful sensation, that's what it's like all the way down. And I saw a tar pit of people stretching out of hot tar, screaming. And I went through and it was utter darkness. And then I felt it hit rock bottom. And I woke up disturbed from that dream. And the Lord gave me another vision a couple of days later. I think he wanted to keep me in that feeling of how awful it is. And I remember this was either in prayer and in a vision when I was lying down or in bed sleeping. But Again, I was in darkness, but I could feel fabric around me. And I could hear birds chirping. And I could feel the sunlight streaming in. And I sat up with Christ. I had risen with him. And this is a reality for all of us. For you have died. It's not about doing good things. It's about dying and being risen to life with him, a brand new life. And there was a series of other visions I had, but the Lord taught me how to pray. In another vision, he handed me something. I said, great, it's the sword of Endor. And I looked down and it was a shovel. And he said, dig, 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 dig the well of prayer. And I dug and I dug and I dug and I fought and I fought and I fought. I went through some warfare, some pretty serious warfare. And when I came out of the warfare, God activated me. And I was singing about it today. You know Jason Bourne, you know the Bourne Identity? So he is previously trained, but he just forgot. And there are triggers. There's a trigger word or a sound that would trigger him into activating as an agent. And, oh man, this is so good. As some of you here have been laying dormant, and you've got a gift, you don't even know about it. And I believe the Lord can speak one word into your spirit tonight and activate the gift that he's already given you.
Fantastic. Love the presence of God. Just be seated for a couple seconds. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's good, the devil's bad, but we win, right? I want to read to you a passage out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and it brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he sent me down in the midst of the valley. In the valley, it was full of bones. The New Living Translation says, the hand of the Lord came upon me. The Lord took a hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. I'd like to ask you when you were last carried away by the Spirit of God. When was the last time you got carried? You can be carrying a lot of other people, but there are moments where the Lord would just like to carry you. And you feel yourself a little war weary. I know I've felt that many times. The battles are just wear you out. And there are times where I feel like Jesus has just picked me up. So come over here and take a break, son. He nurses any wounds and you heal up and then you're ready for the battle again. I know that right here tonight, some of you are a little bruised on the inside and the Lord's going to touch you. I feel so happy for you. You know, sometimes I see the Holy Spirit, it's like he's so excited about what he's going to do for some people. He's more excited than the people he's going to do it for. He just, his things of silk. That's all God is into right now. You, planet Earth. It's just. And you know, some of you might never have been carried away. You might never have been able to let go and be abandoned to God. But let me tell you, there are places in God, experiences in God, that are as conscious altering as any mind-bending drug, without any of the side effects. Anything God does for you will only enhance you. I've been in many experiences, well, not too many, maybe 10 if I added them all up and thought about them, where I felt myself carried away. I was driving from our house down to Brookvale, where our church was once, and I went through a suburb called Narrabeen, and I was what the Bible calls in the spirit, and I didn't even know where I was. And when I came to again, I'd driven the car all the way to Brookvale, which was like 12 kilometers, and I didn't even know where I was. I didn't even, couldn't even remember driving. I was in a vision. And the thing that I was seeing was a tabernacle being erected for the presence conference. It was then called Ozfire, but I saw all these angels erecting this white tent inside our building. Inside the building, a tent was being built. And I saw them and I was feeling joyful because they were like angels. They were like roadie angels that get things ready for when God's coming. About 3 days before the conference, I had another vision. I had exactly the same experience. I was driving through Narrabeen, and I was taken away, and I didn't know how I was driving or anything. I was just seeing a vision. And those same angels came and were taking it away. And I said, "No! What are you doing? You're taking away this tabernacle for God, where he was going to be present." I said, "What have we done wrong? Dear God, I'm repenting. I'm sorry, whatever it is." They were rolling it all up. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Don't worry. That was a rehearsal. The real tabernacle is about to be erected." I'm going like, "No, God, that's just crazy. Heaven has rehearsals? Like, You measure it up and you get things ready?" He said, "Of course I do. I send John the Baptist before Jesus. I send Elijah before Elisha. I send Noah before a flood. I get things ready. I prepare." And so then these new angels that weren't quite like roadie angels, these were different. They started rolling out the see-through golden sheen covering in it. They erected it all over the building. And then they put lights up the seams, like, you know, on those cruise liners where they have all the lights going up. It was like so celebrative. It was just all happy. And there were three different kinds of angels that positioned themselves around. There were four on the four corners, huge angels with swords, warrior angels, like higher command angels. And then there were their subordinates lined up along around the tent. And obviously they just station themselves when God is coming. And then there were all these crazy angels, like party on sanguine angels. They were the cherubim. And they were flying all around, all the outside. They go, "Wow, this is going to be awesome." And they were just partying. These soldier angels didn't take any notice of them. They were like, it was a wild scene. And then a throne was set up on the stage. And God spoke to me. He said, "I will sit there in this conference. And when you have altar calls, I will break open people's hearts to see what's in there. And I'll select an army for my son in the praise and the worship." And we found that every time people would come forward, they would just be crying profusely. Their hearts would break open to God and they'd find themselves carried away. We don't hold Presence Conference just to sing some songs. It's because heaven wants a gateway on earth where heaven can come into earth and earth can come into heaven. That's when the church gathers. And this is for C3 Global, all our leaders. And sometimes I don't think people recognize the significance of what turning up is all about. You could watch it on your iPad. You could watch it online. But you don't want to get in too much of a habit of that. You do not want to be watching the rapture online. You want to be there. You need to be there. Don't live a third-party experience all your life. Be there. There's feelings and experiences that you can't have on the other side of a computer. You're in the presence of the Lord, and that's why it's called presence. It's not a theory. It's not a mythology. It's an actual thing. I would urge you to get your family, your friends, everybody, fill that joint with the house of God, with the presence of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and He carried me away. And He set me down in a valley of bones. Any reason you have an experience with God, and He has just turned up now at a higher level, I'm telling you, impartation is in this room. The reason there was a valley of dry bones is that because people stopped walking when they were in the valley. When you're in a valley, it's easy to think, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get through this dark time. I'm in a place of depression. How am I ever going to get out? And the temptation is to sit down and say, I'm giving up on the marriage. I'm giving up on the business. I'm giving up on God. I'm giving up on the church. I'm just going to sit down here and die. And that's what they did. And that's exactly where God sent the prophet. He sent the prophet to speak the word and to breathe new life. This year, our Presence Conference is called Breath, Not Without Accident. I think there are so many people who've run out of breath. And you need someone else to resuscitate you. You need another mouth to come on your mouth and breathe life into your lungs. And that mouth of God is here in this place. I felt like I should just do a sort of a mini touch of presence here. And that's why I sort of said to Daniel, just get turned loose, babe, you know, and to something that's like impartation. But I know this, that the power of God is in here to touch you. We will have several sessions in presence that are devoted to just moving in the power of God and healing and prophecy.